As we've heard a couple of times already, we're talking about the story in John about the sheepfold and Jesus' identity in the sheepfold. I'm going to just amplify the last five verses of the text here, verses 5 through 10. And this is John 10, overall 1 through 10. It picks up. The sheep will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and may have it in full." Think about the voices in your world. The first thing that happens for me in the morning is I start the voices straight away. Growing up in a house where the news was important and NPR was always on the radio in the bathroom, it's how I start my day. I reach over, I turn off the alarm, and hit the stream button to start listening to something else. And from there, it just keeps on going. All day long, there is one voice or another of our friends, of our family, of our thoughts, ideas, and fears, of those things that are meant to entertain us or inform us or that we want to argue with. We're surrounded by voices all the time. Even here, where we're not surrounded by much of anything, voices are always with us and always part of our interaction with the world. Sometimes we prefer to listen to anything rather than to really sit into a moment's peace. And then we come and say, well, we listen for God. We listen for Jesus' voice. And it can be a fairly obvious question. So how do we do that? In the midst of all the voices, in the midst of all the clamor for our attention, in the midst of everything else, how do we pick out the one voice of the shepherd amidst the braying of it all? This passage, John 10, is one that we know well, but it's often one that we assert and just use that little chunk of it that we know well, saying, "I am the shepherd, I am the sheep, this is how it works." And when we abstract this from the broader narrative and the broader theme, even though it is indeed true, it also kind of misses something along the way. Because this is actually part of a really rather long story. And I think what we usually use it for is just to say, well, we know who are the sheep and who are the thieves and the robbers and the wild animals, etc. We are on the inside, we are on the outside. I recall a woman complaining about some perceived harsh treatment in the TSA line. If you can remember commercial air travel, ranting about this treatment and just saying it time and again, well, God knows who his sheep are. They'll get theirs in the end. That's how we use this. That's how we encounter this. We know who the sheep are, and those who don't agree with us, who aren't like us, who are other than us, or don't treat us well, they're not the sheep, and they'll get it in the end. But I'm not convinced that is what the point that's being made here. I think this verse suffers both because it's abstracted too far from its broader context, but also, I think our assumptions that we bring to it can lead us astray as well. So first, let me speak to context here. I encourage you in your time this afternoon to take some time and read actually the whole of chapter 9, which is the context for this story. Chapter 9 is actually part of a longer narrative, but we'll just start there. John's style is, well, this happened, then that happened, and it just keeps on rolling and rolling and rolling on downhill. But you had to start somewhere. Chapter 9 tells the story of a man born blind, which Jesus sets whole with a whole series of explanations and recriminations that follow. How could a man born blind be healed? How can one who we know is sinful be healed? And he goes round and round and round. And then finally the man comes back to Jesus and asks him, so what's the deal? And Jesus responds to him and to the Pharisees with this metaphor of the sheepfold. In this context, Jesus, the gate, the good shepherd, is the one who leads people out of what is into something new. And he's talking about the nature of the kingdom of God working outside of our expectations, working outside of what we have come to know and understand, and how that's different. Secondly, as Emily explained, we have in mind a notion of the sheepfold as we understand it. But what Emily didn't get to is the fact that in the sheepfold, it wasn't just my sheep. The sheepfold was a communal device for the whole group of sheep herders who would come and store their sheep there for the night so they could rest and hire one guy to look after them all. We assume that this is about the proper possession of an individual owner, and it's not. And so what you have is this whole sheep potpourri of flocks together. And with this in mind, Jesus' metaphor of calling the sheep out of the sheepfold and the sheep's ability to hear his voice amidst all the other sheep and all the other voices that the other sheep might be listening for takes on a different thing. In the days before ear tags and branding and all the rest, that's how herds were maintained. The voice of the shepherd and the shepherd's intimate knowledge of the animals in their care. That's how the herd went in and went out, and that's how the herd was led forward into something new. Like a child who, after a time, is no longer satisfied with even their favorite babysitter, but needs to see mom again. The sheep will follow the shepherd, and only the shepherd and the sound of their voice will ever do. I submit that this metaphor about the sheep pen and the shepherd and all the rest is about how we recognize the work of the kingdom in our midst. Jesus is saying here that those who hear the holy in the midst of the madly braying world will know the holy and be formed by the holy. And that we will follow that voice when we hear it. and be shaped by it and be taken somewhere it is. And in that reading, I go so far as to say that this metaphor is not about who is in and who is out. Rather, it's about how we listen together for the voice of the shepherd, acknowledging that Jesus calls all people, even the ones that we don't understand why he would ever want them, to come, to follow, to be changed. Even us, who might even think that we haven't figured it out, we're called to do something new, to do something different, and to follow along. The community that listens to the voice of the shepherd must be open to any who hear. The voice, the community of Jesus Christ, the one who leads the sheep, must be an open door to anyone who would follow. As Jesus welcomed the Samaritans, the Pharisees, the woman of Samaria, the Roman centurion, Nicodemus, the man born blind, the palsied man, Peter, doubting Thomas, and even Judas, who betrayed him. The voice of God speaks to whom it will, granting abundant life to those who would only hear. It's a free and open gift, and it's a challenge for us to hear and work out what it means in our midst. I wonder, dare we to continue to follow the one who calls us forward into something new, into something different, into something that might even surprise us? But how do we do that? How do we train our ears to hear the shepherd above all else and to muster the courage to follow that voice, perhaps even where we don't want to go? How do we sort out the voice of the master in the midst of the braying world? It's not easy, and it takes practice, and it takes a community of discernment to say, yes, this is the voice of Christ. This is the voice that is calling us forward. I think God's voice is one that is always found in contradiction. It's powerful. It has the force of thunder, but something that we know that we struggle sometimes to hear. The voice of God is recognized wherever one sees life and joy and health and color and humor, even as it's also recognized in the midst of dying, suffering, and poverty. The voice of God is recognized in what calls us to what is high, what sets us apart, invites us to holiness, even as it owns its own humanity and would never denigrate the human nature. The voice of God is recognized in what appears to us as foreign and strange, even as it's recognized in that which beckons us to our ultimate home. As familiar as it may be, the gospel that only confirms what we ourselves hold to be true and right and honest, and doesn't ask ourselves at some level to change or be challenged, it cannot be the gospel. At least not the whole gospel. The kingdom will always challenge human nature. That's the nature of it. And ask us to do something new and different time and again. The voice of God invites us to live beyond fear, even as it inspires holy fear. The voice of God is heard wherever there is genuine enjoyment and gratitude, even as it invites us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and freely do the things that are required of us in the world. In these days of change, in big and small ways around us, I wonder, how is God speaking in this time? I know that God is speaking, and maybe in ways that will ultimately surprise us, challenge us, move us. I'm not yet ready to venture a guess of what might be being said, but I do know that God's voice is calling us both individually and corporately to be attentive to where Jesus is leading us now. So I think in this time we do well to listen closely, to listen for the voice of the shepherd. And now that the good shepherd who leads us forth and places us in the paths of righteousness each and every day, it could be interesting. It could be challenging. It could be something new. I want to leave you with an exercise. I want to leave you with a moment to listen. I'm going to read the metaphor of the Good Shepherd as we most often know it in the form of Psalm 23. As you listen, I invite you to know what speaks to you most by way of comfort, but also by way of invitation and of challenge. Listening, I hope that you might hear the Good Shepherd calling us each to new life and to a new way in this day, this time. I read here from the Message. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I am not afraid. When you walk by my side, your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a coarse dinner in the presence of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessings. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I am back home in the house of God for the rest of my life.